Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning, everybody.
How's everyone doing out there today?
So, John Harbaugh out in Baltimore. I want to jump right into that. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get to Bills, Jags, Sabres win last night. Made it a little close, but ultimately get a 5-3 win.
I was not very appreciative of that final 6 minutes there.
No.
Really not a fan of that one.
But I did want to dive into the John Harbaugh stuff, mainly because I think there could be not a connection to Buffalo, but I think if you're a certain kind of fan, you look at that move. 18 years, Super Bowl win in 2012, missed the playoffs one time, and it seems like the whole thing crumbled. I mean, we've seen stuff in the Baltimore Sun about, you know, arguably a hit piece on Lamar Jackson. It sounded like, you know, from stuff I've been reading and listening to today and yesterday, sounds like a lot of the locker room kind of gave up on Harbaugh, sort of moved on from him. They were done. I don't know. Just it both came out of nowhere, but in the same vein, sort of didn't. Like, we've talked about Harbaugh a lot the last 2 years of constantly blowing leads. You know, they're an uber-talented team that kind of just can't get it done. In the exact same vein as the Bills, they've been one of, if not the most successful team in the regular season over, like, this last five-year period and haven't made a Super Bowl.
They also, though, they have a tendency to not win many playoff games either. With
right.
This current iteration.
Since 2012, since winning that Super Bowl, going 4-0 in those playoffs, Harbaugh was 4-7 since in the playoffs.
And he's only got three wins with an uber-talented quarterback in Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the context matters. Everything always has context matters, right? And with Baltimore, it is, you have not been winning playoff games with Lamar Jackson. And sometimes it's been Jackson crumbling in the postseason. Mm-hmm. That's why he has an unfortunate tag on him at that point. But some of it's also very much your management, your coaches making baffling decisions. When they make it to the conference championship, they refuse to run the football despite being one of the best rushing teams that there was.
Yeah, a complete flip from what they'd done the entire year and that playoff run in itself.
This season, you saw it multiple times. Why is Derrick Henry not in the game late?
Most recently, the New England game.
And ultimately, where every loss mattered, this was it. I cannot say that I'm surprised in even the slightest. Because, yeah, this is something that you have said that I've really subscribed to in the past. An NFL head coach ultimately serves to one day get fired. Bill Belichick was not immune to that work.
No, and I think I listened to, I think it was Adam Schefter saying it yesterday, like he sort of compared Harbaugh to Belichick in the same way of like, this is probably the biggest firing we've seen at the head coaching position since Belichick. I probably agree with that.
The only team that seems to clearly not subscribe to that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And look at them spinning their tires in mud like they're a pig happy to roll in it.
Yeah. I mean, they did make the playoffs again, but you're right. I mean, like, they seem to be the only franchise that doesn't hire a guy with sort of the feeling of, we're probably going to fire you at some point. Like, very few of you, same with players, get to walk off into the sun. Very few of you. And the reason why I bring it up, too, is, you know, Jeremy Fowler, he had a piece, and it mentioned, too, right at the end that around the league, there's this sort of, not internally with the Bills, but around the league, there's wonderings if Bills ownership is getting impatient with Sean McDermott. And the reason why the Harbaugh firing, I guess maybe is hitting closer to home for me, is that similar feeling that Buffalo and Baltimore have, where you have the uber-talented quarterback, you keep making the playoffs. Again, Baltimore doesn't this year, but you saw how quickly then they moved off Harbaugh. And then that's the thing. Does it just take that one big miss and all of a sudden, all right, let's move out. Let's start this all over. You know, I was seeing Marcus Mosier, who has been on the station as well, covers mainly the Cowboys, but does a lot of film study as well. He's not a Harbaugh fan at all. I mean, he's like, if it's the year 2026, if you're not hiring a guy that gives you, you know, a tactical advantage, because Harbaugh himself is a special teams guy, like that's where he, you know, created his sort of legacy before becoming a head coach. What are you doing here? And I sit here too, kind of seeing the same. You know, I sit here listening to that, and I'm like, usually that means offense. You know, if you've got the quarterback, go get an offensive guy that's going to get the most out of him. We've heard that for years now with McDermott and Allen. And, of course, a conversation I don't love, but I think it is fair to have because this is sports. It's not always fair, and these are ending up to be discussions, even if it's not warranted. How, you know, Colin Cowherd yesterday kind of made a lot of people in Buffalo upset because, you know, quote unquote, you can't lose to Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence and Liam Cohen. You can't lose to Bo Nix. You can't, right? Like, all the pressure's on the Bills.
Who would have thought, because you mentioned Cowherd, mm-hmm. I need to get this one out here.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that Nick Wright would be a somewhat voice of reason?
I know, yeah, I know.
Because Nick Wright, in response to that, goes, how often do you hear about a six seed being upset mm-hmm. in the first round of the playoffs, and they choked? I guess we are really in the upside down because Nick Wright is a voice of reason for the Bills.
It's just like this whole season has been sort of this wild ride. The playoffs, though, it's only Wednesday, but this whole week already kind of feels like, number one, in a way, I'm almost preparing to lose, and I hate that feeling. But also, it seems like a lot of people in the media are almost preparing for the shots they're going to fire if the Bills do lose. A game, which, by the way, is a pick'em now. Joe and Jeremy were talking about that the line is staying where it started, with the Bills being a slight, if not even, favorite. I don't know. I'm curious to see how this season ends. I don't know if the Bills will end up keeping their full staff and go with it again. It does not look like Babich or Brady are going to be hothead coaching names. It's not really all that surprising based off the season. But that also seemed to be one of Harbaugh's big downfalls. It appeared that he wanted to keep the exact same staff. I saw a report today from The Athletic that Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, Lamar Jackson, their relationship got awkward. Zach Orr is the defensive coordinator through two seasons, I think, has been a disaster.
Right.
And you can say all you want about how much talent they have. The stats don't point to it. The stats point to Kyle Hamilton is basically the best, and everyone else around him is not any good. It's just, oh, it's so curious. And this is going to be a conversation for if the Bills season ends on Sunday. But the Harbaugh stuff just kind of, it jumped out to me. I think especially, too, the immediate reports were that he was being reached out to by a number of teams that did not
more
equal
than the amount of yeah. openings.
I think it's Miami or the Jets, but it is what it is.
I do want to subscribe a little bit to Jeremy's conspiracy theory that he put up this morning and about the call coming from inside the house, because I want to subscribe to it, if only because we have seen a little bit of the interesting dynamic between coach and GM this year that has not been there in years past. More or less, just to talk more about this. Say the Bills get smacked around, right? A reality I definitely do not want to face or look at. And maybe if I put it out there, it won't happen. Even though I know that my words are inconsequential. But say that it happens. Is there some sort of way for a certain person to take the heat off of him and get rid of the other guy?
I mean, that's what,
because the head coaching vacancy is what is available.
Yeah, I mean, that's what ultimately is going to end up happening. I think a lot of these situations is we've got to start pointing fingers. If the heat starts to turn up on anybody, I think it becomes a bit of a cutthroat business. I don't say that negatively. I think that's very normal in these very high-pressure job sports, obviously among them. You start pointing fingers. Look, we kind of just went through this with the Sabres. There's a very good chance that people inside that building started to point fingers at Kevin Adams going, I ain't going down with him. It's on him, not me. I'm good at my job. He's not. That happens.
It happens. And that is something that is natural. I've seen a couple things of like, oh, if I'm Brandon Bean, I'm talking to John Harbaugh tomorrow, or, you know, if he doesn't sign by Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, what would be the dynamic here if something were to change? How would it evolve. I'm going to tell you right now, I definitely don't want to think about this.
No, but it's always kind of there. They've gone this long. And
when I say it
they haven't won yet, it's always going to be there.
And when I say that, it's more or less, this team has shown its potential several times this year. They really have. Even with as bad as the defense is, they've shown their potential. We know what this team can do. And I think that's why I don't want to think about it. Because you said it, like, you know, resigning yourself to defeat and you don't like the idea of that. I don't like the idea of it at all. And I think it more or less is just when I get into playoff mode, it is I don't care by any means necessary about how you win, about what ends up happening and knowing how it is going to be. All right, we all have to face our fears here together. Let's step into the wilderness. Because we made it to the point where we were all promised, which is the Bills are back in the playoffs. Now, typically, here comes the painful part. Because Sal does the
right
before Buffalo Christmas. And we are given a stark reminder at the beginning of his poem of how the Bills season typically is ended.
That's usually how the new year starts.
And it's how it goes for 31 franchises. Most of them are gone. 14 remain. 13 if you take out Carolina. 12 if you count Pittsburgh. But jokes aside, for 13 more teams, it's going to end painfully.
I'm ready for Sunday. I'm already ready for Sunday just because I don't really want to go through this process now where it also feels like, you know, everywhere I look, it just is it feeling like either this is the Bills' best chance or they're going to get blown out by Jacksonville. And whenever I hear someone say it's the Bills' best chance, it's always leveled then by the caveat of, I actually don't think they're more talented than the Jags. I don't think they're any better than the Jags. But all the pressure has to be on. It almost feels like, Derek, honestly, and we'll get to your calls here in a moment, 803-0550. You want to talk Bills, Jags, get your thoughts in on this matchup coming up Sunday at 1. It almost feels like it's a positive to some of these teams for not making the playoffs. Like, Burrow now has the excuse of, well, he's on the Bengals. I mean, just how can you even get past that? Baltimore, they just fired their head coach. We've been talking about that for the last 15 minutes. And then for Kansas City, he's already won, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, they'll be fine. They're going to figure it out at some point. It almost feels like the Bills and Josh Allen, because that's really where all of this kind of stems from, is his legacy, right? He one of the great quarterbacks of his generation, maybe of all time. He's got to win one. He almost feels like he's being punished for making the playoffs. It's just, it's incredible to me. And that's why, like, I've also said, and I said it yesterday, if they do win on Sunday, then the noise should be just as loud of, all right, yeah, they're going. Like, this is an incredible win for them. They did beat a better team on the road, albeit in Jacksonville. I get it. It's not the most intimidating place.
And yet there's going to be enough people that have been hardened by, okay, but now it's the divisional round.
Right, now it's the divisional round.
They typically win a playoff game every year.
Are they going to Denver, that kind of deal?
And, I mean, based on, if everything else goes off on paper, yeah, they'd be heading to Denver. But what have we learned this year about this season in particular and paper? This season bought a shredder.
It's made it more fun. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's get to your calls here. Thoughts? Bills, Jags, Sunday at 1. We'll also talk Sabres as well. 5-3 win. Paul Hamilton will join the show at 11:30. Sal Capaccio coming up in about 15 minutes at 10:30 with the Bills getting back to work today. Made a few roster moves and...
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
They're also going to be back to practice today, so we'll get our first injury report as well. We'll start off today, though, with Tim on the line. Tim, how are we doing?
Good morning, fellas. Thanks, as always, for having me on. I wanted to weigh in and give my two cents this morning. So I'm actually going to the game in Jacksonville this weekend. Yeah. Apparently, I didn't pay attention too much in class growing up because I didn't realize that Jacksonville was only 5.5 hours away from Charlotte, but that's okay. So heading down there with me and the wife and looking forward to the game. I said right when we drew that matchup that the Bills are either going to get bounced in the first round or they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I think that Jacksonville is by far the toughest matchup they could have gotten. But with that being said, I'm really the nightmare matchup that I absolutely hate for the Bills this weekend is Parker Washington against Taron Johnson. Taron has not played his best ball. Parker Washington's becoming a stud, and they just have a lot of ways that they can attack you. But I do like the Bills' chances. Obviously, it's a pick 'em at this point. I think that they're the better team. Not necessarily the better team, but you know where I'm going. I like what you guys are talking about this morning because I think it's a fantastic conversation, especially now that Harbaugh just got fired. I've never been a big fire McDermott guy. I think that actually this season has been some of his best overall work.
Agreed.
Since they broke the drought, just because with all the injuries and kind of the cards he's been dealt. But I wanted to get your guys' honest thoughts. Do you guys think that him and Bean are in lockstep anymore? Because he's starting to take some kind of shots at him. And, you know, we heard all about the process early on and those two coming on, hey, we're in lockstep, this and that. And I just don't get that vibe anymore. And I truly think, depending on how this weekend goes, loss or win, that there could be some conversations to be had at the end of the year where they're basically – and I don't think McDermott would be the one to go, but I just want to get your guys' thoughts. I appreciate you having me on, and thanks so much.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate the call. And
enjoy the game, by the way.
Enjoy the game, yes, most importantly. But I think I've been getting on this for a little while now because I'm the person that subscribes a lot to a different Buffalo GM's words. If you say it publicly, that means you've said it in private. It's not a coincidence anymore that there have been several pot shots over this season. So for all of us to just see it publicly, we will all take it what we will. But I'm absolutely not just in agreement, but I've kind of been thinking what might be happening between the two of them. Enough to have mentioned several times now this year of if there is a power struggle, I'm not alluding that there is not, we've all seen it. If there's an issue between them, we've seen it because we have heard public comments several times now this year. And it's typically been about one position. I'm tired, boss.
Yeah, it has been the receiver room.
I've heard it about one position in particular more than any others. Again, I'm tired. But it's still there. It's something that everyone has seen. Bills fans have our reputation of being the loud, obnoxious, drunkenly type, right? The other thing, though, is Bills fans do pay attention. They can, if you pay attention, you see the tea leaves. You take it for what you will, you interpret it in the way that you want to. But I think enough people have seen, yeah, something's not right between you two. What's good? And the answer to that is I have no idea.
I'm in agreement with that. I mean, it's been going on. I think the first signs were the Carolina game after James Cook had 200 yards rushing and Sean McDermott wanted to make sure that he put it down that he didn't love to run the ball or, you know, that he wanted to be good at both, right? He had never said that he loves to run the ball. He wants to be good at both. And then it's kind of continued on. Also, to that point, I mean, because Derek, you brought up, you know, some of the tweets we've seen from the national people, you know, Bills might be in on Harbaugh. No, because really the dynamic in Buffalo is not the same. The GM is not ultimately the boss of the head coach. I think if you asked most people in there, it's probably vice versa. The head coach is probably the boss of the GM. And if there's a power struggle, I do imagine it would go McDermott's way. Don't know if that's the case. Haven't spoken to either man on that. But I think that's where we're going. I think it's going to be a curious and I think it could be a really interesting offseason for the Bills. I wonder if they're going to bring back either of their coordinators in defensive or offensive. I wonder if there's something going on with Bean and McDermott. And this also is coming after somebody that just watched the John Elway documentary on Netflix, which was pretty good. I mean, it's you know, we're going to love on John Elway for an hour and a half or what have you. But the Dan Reeves stuff, where Elway and Reeves, his first head coach, really did not see eye to eye, especially towards the end of his career. Reeves ends up firing Mike Shanahan. That was another bridge that was burnt between them, and eventually Shanahan comes back, and that's where you do see Elway win his two Super Bowls at the end of his career. Also, to this caller's point, Parker Washington. Yeah, he has come on. Like, we talk about Jacoby Myers sort of unlocking the offense. Parker Washington, though, has been a stud for them. Derek, in the final three games of the year, he has 29 targets.
Parker Washington led this team in receiving yards at 847 this year.
Yeah, and the final three games, 145 yards, 115, 87. He also has two touchdowns in those three games. He's been incredible for them.
He's the guy that's been here the whole time. Mm-hmm. But Myers getting here unlocks Washington.
Yeah, he's been awesome. And it is right to bring up Taron Johnson. He has aged, I think, rather quickly. He went from an all-pro nickel corner to now somebody where I think most of us are at times very nervous when he's on the field. They are one of the best secondaries in the sport. I'm excited to see that matchup between, as Dan Orlovsky called it, the hottest passing offense in the NFL versus the hottest defensive backfield in the NFL. With that being said, to Dan's point, he said it yesterday on One Bills Live, you usually will give the benefit of the doubt to the offense because the quarterback can make that perfect throw.
Quarterbacks can make that throw. Offenses are you know, supposed to be constructed in a way, and the game adds more leniency to one side of the football than the other.
Yeah, I agree on the point, though. If they do win, I said it yesterday, if they do win this weekend, I think they will beat everyone else in the AFC.
I think that the winner of this game is going to have a lot to say about what happens next.
Right, because I think we've all gotten to a point, too, with Denver. And Jacksonville's win over Denver, I think.
Denver and New England, I think, are birds of a feather. They're paper tigers that have shown different signs of, okay, you're maybe not it. New England, I don't really think they've had that moment of like showing pure fraudulence.
No, it's just you've beat up a bad schedule.
Except when the Bills came back from 21 points down.
Right, yeah.
Denver, the minute they saw Jacksonville, shriveled.
Yeah.
The Broncos are mighty fraudulent. The only advantage that they should have that I really think good for you that you got it is that they will not go on the road.
No, they've got the one seed, and they do have a legitimate home field advantage with that altitude, the whole thing. Everyone has talked about how bad it is to play in Denver.
Yes, it's tougher to play in Denver. It actually is. It's the altitude's there. The air's thinner. Like, that's science. However, like, series to series, Bo Nix doesn't know which kind of quarterback he is. And nor do Broncos fans until he starts playing that series. It's like, oh, okay, so he's terrible. Oh, okay, so he's great. Oh, okay. Like, he doesn't figure that out. And I think that they really did snack on a lot of cupcakes. Again, don't apologize for who you beat and how you did it. But sometimes the consequences come knocking on the door. And this is actually also true of these two teams, Buffalo and Jacksonville.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I don't want to bring up the schedule stuff too much, because Buffalo, like, realistically, who have you beaten as well? But Jacksonville's throughout this big win streak, it's been double ups of Tennessee, of Indianapolis. You do have the Denver win in there.
And again, that looked more like a team that shriveled by the time they saw a team that was possibly as good as them.
Right. Arizona's in there as well. The Jets are in there. Right. Like, so that's, you can absolutely point to that and go, are they really as good as all the stats make them out to be, or is it just you're beating up on some of the worst teams we've seen? I mean, Indianapolis, when Daniel Jones goes down, did not win another game. They were 8-2. They finished the year 8-9. Tennessee might be the worst team talent-wise in the sport. The Jets may have given up on their head coach. Arizona, Jacoby Brissett was fun. They were terrible, though, with him. That defense was atrocious. And then the Chargers. That is a good win, 35-6. But doesn't Herbert leave that game early at some point? I want to say he leaves that game early.
So, yeah, Herbert does leave that game. Trey Lance has to actually throw 9 passes, I do believe, in that game. So he's in for a considerable amount of time. I think, though, whenever Jacksonville's seen that opponent, like, you know, like, this could be a good match, though, they haven't withered. And I think that's where the difference lies. They were in a tight game with Houston. They were competitive in a couple of those other games. Denver saw one good team and folded. After they started the season the way that they did, the minute they saw Jacksonville, they crumbled. New England, the minute that that Bills comeback win happened, people go, okay, what are you? Buffalo has had that moment too. You should have beat Philadelphia.
Yes.
But ready? If they beat Philadelphia, though, what changes? And the answer to that is, what, you get to move up a seed? I don't even know if you do. But that's it.
It is what it is.
That's what changes.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio coming up after this quick timeout. The Bills week does get underway today. We'll get our first injury report later this afternoon. And the Bills also did make a number of roster moves yesterday. We'll get Sal's thoughts on that. We'll also touch on the Harbaugh stuff again. Want to get Sal's thoughts on that as well. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.